Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Jody Kneisel and she's out in New York City. So good morning to you, Jody.
Good morning. How are you, LaVon?
I'm great and I hope you are getting better. Your situation is getting better day by day because, of course, we wanted to visit with you about your experience with the huge storm Sandy. And you know, Jody, the news sort of here has gone away, but the news there is lots of things yet to be done.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's affected everyone.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little more in detail. But Jody, first, I think we want you to tell us who your parents are, because you grew up here in the Griswold area.
I did. My parents are Doyle and Sandy Kneisel of the Griswold, Iowa area.
Yes. And what do you do in New York City?
I currently work at Midtown Surgery Center as the recovery room nurse manager.
And so you have been going to work nearly every day?
Nearly every day. We were closed for Monday and Tuesday. The storm hit New York around 8 p.m. on Monday, and we closed around noon because water was starting to come over from the East River over onto the east side of Manhattan, and we are on the east side. So we were closed Monday, and Tuesday was also closed. Wednesday, we had a few cases, but very few people could get in for their surgeries. So
yes, so let's talk a little bit about how the storm affected transportation specifically.
Sure. So the transportation, one of the main ways that New Yorkers get around the city is by bus and by subway and taxis, because there's so much traffic, and it's just so much easier, and it's definitely more economical. And a lot of the water had 14-foot surges coming over into the city, and the subways are below ground, so a lot of them became flooded and were closed. So that was one mode of transportation that was down. Also, the streets were flooded, and buses were unable to get down certain areas, and after that, there was a gas shortage because so many gas pumps are run on electricity, so they couldn't even pump the gas up from the ground, and other places were just running out. So it made for several different situations. In order to get into the city from the bridges, you actually had to have a minimum of 3 people in your vehicle, and the gas lines were so crazy that we had patients waiting for rides. They wouldn't even leave the Manhattan area in order to take people home. So you saw more and more people. It's a walking city, but there were quite a few more on foot.
Yes. Let's talk about living conditions. Let's talk about where your situation. You live in an apartment building, is that correct?
That's correct.
And about how many people live in your building?
There's approximately 100 people in my building. It's a smaller building in the East Village, which is the Lower East Side of Manhattan on the island. So it's a quaint neighborhood, smaller buildings, not as many skyscrapers. It's cute. It's
yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it was pitch black.
Pitch black all over, I think. And how long were you out of power?
So power went off on Monday evening around 8 p.m., and on Friday, it was back on, and you would have thought we all won the lottery. People were cheering in the streets and turning on all their lights. It was quite the celebration. So, we were out of power, Monday to Friday.
And so did you get heat right away?
I did not, unfortunately. It was nice to have, I had warm water. Once the power came back on, but unfortunately my apartment was frigid because most of the people had evacuated my building, and a lot of my heat comes from the people above and below me.
Uh-huh.
Keeping warm and sandwiched. So the steam also, steam heat was like a lukewarm, so it was still pretty chilly in here, and it was down to 30 degrees.
30 degrees, that's pretty cold.
Yeah, it was pretty cold for
yes.
a few days, and then it warmed up, so
no
we were
good.
All very thankful.
Now, Jody, you're a young person, you're capable, you have lots of abilities, and you can really take care of yourself well, But what about some older people? And people who don't have a lot of friends. I'm just thinking that they had to be so isolated, and there they are in the dark and the cold. What have you heard related to those kinds of people?
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, our church group, we got together and, you know, after several days, people were talking about other people they knew in their building that were either handicapped or elderly and had no way of getting down because they depend on, in these larger buildings, the elevator, which was no longer running due to power outage. So we climbed up, a group of us climbed up at least 26 flights of stairs and delivered meals and water. And I know that FEMA, the organization, was also doing the same thing. So
there are some folks out there obviously helping other folks. I'm sure a Red Cross, in addition to FEMA, other churches, there are a number of organizations that are helping folks. But I'm just trying to empathize. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be by yourself in a dark place and not being able to help yourself. It had to be a terribly fearful situation for everybody. Because New York City being dark, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't. You're right. It was very frightening. Even knowing that I have friends and I'm mobile and I can get around, it still made it very dicey, very scary. It's hard to see where anything is, and all the traffic lights were out, so any of the taxi cabs that were running just used the honor system. So if one person went by, then the next person would go by. So it's very chaotic for a while, but I'm definitely lucky, blessed to have my home, because so many others, you know, just within a few miles don't. So
yes, and let's talk a little more about the housing situation, those that were along the beaches, along the coast, where it really came in. Those houses are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked with you earlier, you mentioned also about a fire. And, you know, you think about water and sand and so on, but then you have fire.
Right.
And so how many houses did that destroy?
It was roughly 80 to 100 homes in the Breezy Point area in Queens. Apparently there was some sort of electrical fire, but because of the water surges, the firefighters couldn't get there in time to get it out. And, the houses in these areas are just right next to each other. So if one goes, then it just jumps to the next. So that was really devastating for the people in that area. But also in Staten Island, on the water side, they just completely destroyed their homes. So I know there are several shelters that are set up, and for those who have family or friends in the area, they're camping out at their homes. And one of my coworkers, unfortunately, she and her husband just got married in August, and I went to their wedding, and they were in Kentucky for a wedding reception and came home to their bedroom, basically floating in 6 feet of water.
So what a way to start. And I'm sure they had pictures and gifts and all those kinds of things that you want to come home to and start a new life, and it's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
it's gone.
She has a good spirit about it, but I'm sure it was extremely hard to come home to that.
Oh, it had to be. Let's talk a little bit about health issues and sanitation. Now, you know, I think some things obviously are getting cleaned up, but what are some of the sanitation problems that come along with a storm like this?
Well, definitely a lot. The sanitation workers, electricians, and carpenters are working around the clock to get the city back and the boroughs back to normal as much as possible. However, some things take priority over others, and the garbage is piling up, and that brings more rodents and more smells and things like that. So it's just one of the sanitation issues, and especially for those people who are, you know, amongst the rubble in like the Staten Island area and the Jersey Shore area, definitely tetanus shots and that kind of thing. There's all sorts of debris lying around that they can easily pick up infections.
Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, we sort of go on with our lives, and the big newscasts are over, but but there is so much left to do. And you mentioned that your church is doing a lot of work. I'm sure others are. But Jody, I'm thinking that there may be some people in our area who would feel really good about donating to your church, knowing that you're involved with the church and knowing that that money will be well used. And there is a way that people can do that.
Absolutely. There's a website, and we would really appreciate it. And if you want a receipt, that can be printed out to you, and I think it automatically is. It's www.forefrontchurch/Sandy.
Okay, and that's F-O-R-E, like forward, right? FORE.FRONT.church.com. /Sandy. And if somebody didn't get that, we can certainly provide that for you, because I think, you know, some folks just don't quite know where to donate. And this they would know is, they sort of feel a personal, connection with you, Jody, that this would be a good way to donate some money if you haven't done so already. So, Jody, there are, I'm sure, stories and more stories and more stories, but we've run out of time, and I do really appreciate you taking time to visit with us and bring this whole situation a little closer to us.
Oh, no problem. I really appreciate you letting me get to voice what's happening out here, and I appreciate taking time to...
Okay, until next time, here's a thought. When your expectations for life are reduced to zero, then everything becomes more meaningful.